Hey everybody, welcome to the first ever Ankeny Fanatic weekly podcast brought to you by the good folks here at the Ankeny office of Iowa Realty. We are broadcasting from the conference room, kind of a makeshift studio here at their office, which is located at 1802 Southeast Delaware, suite number 103. Iowa Realty is the proud sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic. They have 75 agents specializing in residential, commercial, farm, and land properties. And we'll tell you a little bit more about Iowa Realty as we go along. This is Dan Holm, and I am the publisher of Ankeny Fanatic. Along with me today, serving as our producer, is Jared Stansberry from Cyclone Fanatic. We appreciate his help. We have two exciting guests lined up today. A little while later on, we'll be talking to Dan Birch, the head coach of the Ankeny Girls soccer team. But first of all, we want to welcome to our podcast Fred Jackson, a former NFL running back who lives here in Ankeny. He was the 2010 winner of the Buffalo Bills NFL Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. He has quite a resume. So, Fred, welcome to our podcast.
Oh, man, it's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Well, you recently signed a one-day contract so that you could retire as a Buffalo Bill. You spent about 10 years in the league. What was that day like for you? Was it an emotional day?
It was. It was one where you hate to see things like that come to an end. It was just such a blast. You know, being able to be a part of the NFL and all the things that came along with it, and having, you know, the chance to play for a city like Buffalo was, you know, a tremendous honor. And to be able to go back and put the cap on my NFL career and have a chance to retire as a Buffalo Bill is something that I always wanted to do. And the organization made it happen for me, so I couldn't be more thankful.
Well, you wrote a long, heartfelt message to the fans to thank them for their support. I was reading that earlier today, and in there you wrote, "Buffalo is a hardworking town, and you respected me for working hard, so I wanted to show all of you that same respect by playing hard." Did you feel, kind of because of your background, that you had kind of a special connection to the fans there?
I did. You know, one of the things that, you know, a lot of people know about me is my story of getting to the NFL isn't like anybody else's that has ever played a game. So I think a lot of people in Buffalo gravitated to me as a player because of that. You know, it was something that I was able to, you know, overcome the odds of coming out of Division III, not being drafted, you know, spending 2 years outside of the NFL and then finally getting in at the age of 25 and still working my butt off to stay in the NFL. I think a lot of fans in Buffalo gravitated to me simply for that fact. And I didn't want to let those guys down. I didn't want to get there and feel like I had arrived. I wanted to, you know, continue to grind and continue to get better as a player. And I think a lot of fans respect me for that.
Well, you obviously didn't take the normal route to the NFL. When you were in high school down there in Arlington, Texas, I believe you were like a third-string running back. You never started a game in your two-year varsity career there. Back in those days, you know, did you ever envision that you'd be playing in the NFL?
You know, it was always the dream. But, you know, for me to get there and actually stay in the league for 10 years was, you know, something that I never planned on doing. You know, I was hoping to get there. You know, you always have those dreams and those aspirations as a little kid. You know, one day I'm going to play in the NFL. But when it doesn't happen right away, you know, you kind of start thinking about other things that you need to do. But I would tell, you know, every kid that has that dream, if you really want to play in the NFL, you know, continue to chase it as long as you can, because once you get there, the rewards are awesome, you know, and it's worth all the hard work that you put into it.
Well, how does a kid from Texas who doesn't have any scholarship offers, how do you end up at Coe College in Cedar Rapids?
Oh, man, I owe that all to a great coach of mine in Wayne Phillips. You know, he was once the head coach at Coe College, and he was my middle school coach down in Texas. And, you know, my brother, you know, twin brother Patrick Jackson and I didn't have scholarship offers. And he said, "I got a great place for you guys to go and continue to football, continue playing football and get a tremendous education at the same time." So we were all in for it, you know, and he brought us up to Coe on a visit, you know, fell in love with the campus and the atmosphere, and got a great 4 years out of it, you know, graduated with a degree, and continued to play football. You know, in Texas, if you're not playing football, something's wrong with you. And to be able to go to college and still play football was the number one dream at the time. And that was the opportunity to do so. And, you know, I couldn't thank him, you know, enough for giving us that chance to look into that opportunity.
Now, had you ever been to Iowa before you came up on that visit?
I had not. You know, I remember, you know, when I first talked to my coach, he said, "I got a place for you guys to go to college, and it's in Cedar Rapids, Iowa." And I remember saying to him, "Iowa, oh, isn't that the place with the potatoes? And he's like, no, that's Idaho. We're going to Iowa. You're going to see a lot of corn when you get up here. So it was a place that I had never, you know, given a lot of thought, but, you know, I'm tremendously blessed to have come to Coe and, you know, made my home here in Ankeny now.
We certainly had a great career at Coe. I know you were the two-time Iowa Conference MVP there. While you were doing so well in college, I mean, did those thoughts of the NFL start to creep in then, or was it still kind of, you know, maybe in the back of your mind?
They did. You know, after my junior year, you know, playing, you know, pretty well, and again, after my senior year, I was like, you know what, this could be a possibility. And I had had the opportunity to meet, you know, a tremendous person that I give so much respect to him, Marv Levy. And, you know, he told me that he felt like I had the tools to play in the NFL. And, you know, when you hear something like that from a great coach like that in college, you take it to heart. So, you know, after hearing that from him, I felt like, you know, it was a possibility that I could, you know, continue to chase my dream and get in the NFL. So, you know, I continued to try to do as much as possible, you know, whether it was special teams, you know, pass blocking and doing things in every facet of the game. Trying to make myself better. He said, just continue to do those things. And, you know, he told me if he ever got an opportunity, he would help me out. And, you know, it was something that I took to heart and, you know, tried to better myself in every way, fashion, and form in the game.
We certainly had to grind your way there, though. I know you spent some time up there with the Sioux City Bandits in the indoor league, and then you played in the NFL Europe with the Rhein Fire. What was your experience in Sioux City like?
Sioux City was great. You know, I still, you know, try and get back there as much as possible. You know, that was another place that, you know, without going through Sioux City, it wouldn't have made me the player that I was in the NFL. So I owe a lot to those, you know, teammates that I had in Sioux City, you know, a lot of the fans and, you know, the organization for the opportunity to play there as well. So I loved everything about, you know, playing in Sioux City. It was a lot of fun. My wife says to this day that was some of the most fun she had was watching me in those games as well.
Well, you obviously went on to have a great career with the Bills. You became the third all-time leading rusher behind two guys named O.J. Simpson and Thurman Thomas. How were you able to have such a lengthy career at a position, you know, where the normal, you know, range for a running back length of a career is like 3 or 4 years?
Yeah, it was one of those things that, for me, it was listening to every coach that I had, and one in particular in Eric Studisville. He told me, you know, become a student of the game and invest yourself in every facet of it, you know, not only concentrating on running back, but, you know, wide receiver. I developed, you know, a route running ability. I played special teams as much as possible. And he told me the one thing that I want to, you know, get you to understand, and this was my rookie year, he said, the more you can do as a player, it allows you to stick, you know, around in the league. And when he said that, I was like, okay, I want to do whatever I can. I want to do special teams. I want to return punts, return kicks, chase, run down on kickoff coverage and try and tackle people. So I think the little things like that allowed me to stick around for a lot longer and, you know, learning pass routes, you know, working with the receivers after practice, I think was one of the things that helped me as well.
Well, of course, you played in the same division all those years with the New England Patriots, so you had an up-close look at, you know, Bill Belichick and Tom Brady and their dynasty. You know, what was it like to play against them, you know, twice a year?
It was a lot of fun, frustrating at times because we didn't win as much as we would like to against those guys, but it was great to be able to compete against the best all the time, you know, in Belichick and finding out what they were going to do different. They were different than the first time we played them, so it was always interesting to see what they would do, and it was something where we would try and figure it out. You know, he's a tremendous coach, you know, a tremendous mind of the and student of the game, where he does different stuff and it catches you off guard. And I think you, when you get a chance to play against guys like those all the time, you know, it brings out the best in you, you know. And I loved playing against New England because it was always going to be one of those games where you had to be on your toes at all times.
And, of course, you're teammates in Buffalo with Marshawn Lynch. I believe you're also teammates in Seattle there briefly. What was it like being teammates with Marshawn? He was kind of an interesting character. He didn't really get along with the media very well.
he was a guy that, you know, to this day, I just had a conversation with him yesterday. You know, he's like a little brother, you know, and it was an awesome time being on the football field with him. He had fun everywhere he was. You know, he had fun in the locker room. He had fun in the meeting rooms when we were watching film. He had fun out on the football field. So anytime you get a teammate like that, it just makes it a lot you know, more pleasant to be around. So, you know, I loved everything about that he brought to the game, you know, and as far as the media, you know, it's just what he does. You know, he's a guy that kind of keeps people at an arm length. And once he lets you in, you're in, though. You know, he looks out for you. You're somebody you can count. You can count on him being there for you for the rest of your life. So, tremendous guy, you know, and nothing but love and respect for him.
Well, I understand you had your own TV show for your last 3 years there in Buffalo. Did you enjoy doing that? And could you see yourself getting back into TV work at some point?
I did. I had a blast doing it. You know, it was a lot of fun, you know, being able to bring, you know, my teammates on my show and, you know, see a different side of them, you know, other than just football. It was a lot of fun to do it. I would love to get back into it. You know, it's something I just went to broadcast boot camp with the NFL just, you know, to pick up some more skills and, you know, better myself in when it, whether it's on radio or TV, you know, making myself, you know, the best I can be at that too. But as far as getting back on the TV, I loved it, you know, and it was something that, you know, hopefully I can get back into.
Do you have any other plans for the future? I know you obviously have some ties here to Ankeny with your wife and her family, but I also read in your letter that you wrote to the Buffalo fans, you talked about the possibility of maybe getting back into the organization somehow. So could you see yourself moving back to Buffalo at some point?
I could. You know, it's always a possibility. You know, like I said, playing for a team like the Buffalo Bills and that fan base was awesome. And, you know, having an ability to go back and, you know, possibly work with the organization is something that I'm always going to leave open, you know, and I'm hoping that, you know, we can get something done, whether it's, you know, I spend time in Buffalo for the football season and then I'm back here in Iowa during off season is something that I would love to do too. So, you know, I'm looking forward to whatever opportunities present themselves and, you know, it's going to be fun to see what happens down the road.
Well, I know you're busy now chasing your kids around. Do you think your son's going to be a football player?
I would love it. You know, I would love that. You know, there's a lot going on with, you know, people and concussions and stuff. And obviously, I worry about that every time he steps on the field. But the joy that football brought me, I couldn't rob him of that. You know, I see how excited he gets when he puts his football stuff on, when he watched me play. You know, watched me coming out of the tunnel and telling me he can't wait till he can do that. It's something that, you know, I get joy out of. So I'm going to do, you know, right now I tell him, you know, I'm not going to coach you to play to the best of your abilities. Right now I just want you to go out and have fun. That's what football should be. You know, once you get to, you know, being a junior, senior in high school, then we'll start, you know, fine-tuning those skills to where we can try and get you a scholarship into college and then on to the next level. But as far as him playing football, I would love it if he played in the NFL. And, you know, I'd be there supporting him like he did for me every time that I stepped out on the field.
Well, Fred, we want to thank you for your time. And thanks for being our first ever guest on the podcast. We really appreciate it.
Hey, man, it was a pleasure. And, you know, I couldn't ask for a better group of guys to be in here working with.
Well, before we get to our second guest, a little more information here about Iowa Realty. The Ankeny office here will close in excess of $250 million in real estate in 2018. Their agents here represent over 20 new construction builders and communities all over the metro. And with interest rates at historic lows, would you like to know what your home is worth in today's market? If so, give them a call at 515-453-5800. That number again is 515-453-5800. Well, now our second guest here is the head coach of the Ankeny girls soccer team. He has guided the Hawkettes to a 13-2 record and a number 3 ranking in Class 3A. It's Dan Birch. Dan, welcome to our podcast.
No, I appreciate you guys bringing me out today.
Well, you guys have obviously had a great season, highlighted by wins over Waukee and Valley. What do you think has been the key to your team's success this year?
Right now, it's just a day at a time. You know, it's such a short season that we try to play in. And you can't really look too far into the future without taking care of business one day at a time, and it's worked out well for us right now.
Well, of course, last year you guys beat Waukee, who was ranked number 1 at the time, to get to the state tournament. Do you think that win kind of set the stage for your success this year?
You know, I would even look back at the very beginning. I mean, the success that we're trying to build right now in this program has started from day one. I knew with many of the girls I brought on in the first year that it would be a rebuilding phase, so to speak, at the time. And it's just continually has gotten progressively better and better over the years. And we've worked off that. And I said, every year is a new year, you know, regardless of how you do, you got to go out and play your best, regardless of the opponent you have on the other side of the field playing against you.
Well, you guys could very easily be 15-0. Your team's only two losses came in either an overtime or a shootout, including one to Ankeny Centennial that took 2 days to complete because you had a lightning delay. You know, do you think the outcome of that game might have been different if you'd been able to finish the game that night?
It's hard to say. You know, those PK shootouts are 50-50. I thought we would have had a good chance. I thought we had some good momentum going into it. But, you know, I'm okay with the adversity right now. I think it's made us a better core group right now, putting things together and kind of looking at our future in regards to we got to stay hungry. We can still go off and get some good games. We've got a good pairing here coming up with the sub-state brackets. And we just, again, it's taking it one day at a time and still staying hungry for that ultimate goal of winning the championship.
Well, no, you probably don't want your girls to look too far ahead, but I imagine they'd be pretty excited about having a rematch with Centennial State, wouldn't they?
Yeah. You know, you try to keep them hush-hush about that right now and not think about that too far in the future, because for us right now, there's a lot of strong teams. So, you know, in my opinion, there's 4 to 6 of us that truly on any given day can go out and win this thing. And when you look at our standings, we've all kind of beaten each other right now. And so key factor is staying healthy, staying alive, and staying hungry.
Well, of course, your team finished 3-2 in the conference, which doesn't sound all that impressive until you consider the fact that when you look at the Class 3A rankings, the top 5 teams are all from your conference. I mean, how crazy is that?
No, it's good. You got to give credit where it's due. A lot of these clubs that we work around in this metro area are incredible. They do very well with the kids from a very young age, and they get them hungry about the sport. They get them loving the sport. And for us, and I think most of us as high school coaches would agree that it's just a compliment for us to be able to have coaches like that in this metro area to be able to develop and feed a love of the game for these players right now. And our job is just to continue to nurture that. And we've got some really, really strong coaches in the CIML right now. All of them know each other. We're all good friends. And we'll see what happens here in the next couple of weeks.
Well, last year, of course, Ames and Valley ended up playing for the state title. You know, do you think there's a good chance that you could have another all-central conference matchup in the final?
You know, that would be the hope. You know, I know there's some other teams out there. I don't know it as well because we unfortunately don't get to play all the other teams out in Iowa City and areas like that. But we know how strong our conference is. Again, if we kind of worry about our own selves and our improvement and what we can do in the next 2 to 3 weeks here, I think we've got a fairly good shot, and really it can go to anyone's game.
Well, you mentioned the upcoming tournaments. Your team will host either Indianola or Ottumwa in the regional semifinal, and then you would meet either Muscatine or Davenport Central in the final. Do you know anything about, you know, those teams at all?
You know, I don't. My focus right now is on Dowling Catholic that we've got tomorrow afternoon. It's going to be a great matchup. JP and I have got a little spark with one another from previous games we've played into each other. We're both kind of short-tempered, and we're both very competitive in nature. And that's our sole focus, is we've got to take care of Dowling Catholic. We know, you know, they themselves, I believe, are 9-1 as well. Going to be a strong team, and they're going to be making a big push along the sub-state regional games as well.
Well, now last year you had one of the state's leading scorers in Chloe Cooker, and now you you do again with Alexis Legg. Have you been surprised, you know, the kind of season that Alexis has had?
You know, I'm not. No, Alexis is a great kid along with Chloe, both club teammates with each other for the past couple seasons. And right now it's just sometimes you just take on different roles. And it's been a great thing to see Alexis step up, you know, not to discredit Chloe by any means, because her value to the team right now is as strong, if not better, than it was in years past with us. She's just one of those players, just really, really hard to handle in that central attacking, central midfield role that we have her playing in right now. Very good at handling the ball, very good at distributing the ball. And I think a lot of what Alexis is doing right now is because of what Chloe's able to provide for her, and then along with our defense being able to keep the ball out of the net.
Well, I know Alexis is one of the dual athletes that you have on your team because she also plays tennis, and there's some other kids I know like Olivia Shire who also run track. How difficult is it, you know, for those kids to juggle those schedules?
You know, somewhat difficult, but for us as a coaching staff at Ankeny High School, I think they do a very good job of putting us in a room. I know Brent Butcher does a really good job of making sure that we've got some sort of connection amongst the different sports and some sort of timeline schedule. You know, there's definitely some difficult points to it, but, you know, I'm very supportive of the multi-sport athlete. It's shown its success between Alexis Legg and Olivia and a couple other players that have gone through to play the basketball there. It's been a very good thing for us, and we'll keep doing it.
Well, your team has been strengthened, you know, this year by the addition of those club players that you mentioned, players like Riley Whitaker, who will play for Iowa next year. What have the club players brought to your team?
They just bring so much heart, so much love of the game. You know, it's more of a fact of their knowledge, their experience that they brought into. It's made my job easy. fortunately this year for us, because they bring such a unique look and aspect when you're training and when you're playing games, and feedback that they provide, and it gets just everyone within the program to just kind of rise up to another level.
Well, I know Riley played a key role in your overtime win at Southeast Polk last month. She helped to contain Sydney Milani. Is she someone that you could pretty much play at any position on the field, and she'd do a great job?
You could, yeah, especially at this level right now. You could pretty much play her anywhere you'd want to. But, you know, she knows her future is typically on that back line, kind of playing as that four or five or that center back position for us right now. And I believe that's where she's going to be situated coming here for the University of Iowa next season. But fabulous kid, works so hard. Girls look up to her. You know, you would almost wish to have another player like that every single season, just because she's what she's able to bring to the program and to the team.
Well, I know some teams can be kind of beat up at this point in the year, and I know Olivia has struggled with some injuries. How's your guys' health right now?
We're still dealing with a little bit, to be honest with you, Dan. I don't know that we've been healthy throughout the entire season. We've got 18 players rostered, and I think on average we've come out with roughly about 15 players, 16 players per game. We're getting to a point. I would say Olivia's trying to get back into match fitness right now. I would say Mallory as well is still coming off of her concussion that she suffered against Centennial. So we've got a couple little banged up injuries right now. That's the most important thing in the next couple weeks, is trying to get those healthy so that we can kind of make that final push with a full healthy roster. And we'll certainly end up looking into bringing up some players from the JV1 program as well this season.
Well, you mentioned the big game you have tomorrow with Dowling. You've got a couple more games now before postseason play starts. Other than getting healthy, what kinds of things do you want to accomplish before you get into to sub-state play?
Yeah, just really focusing on us. You know, that's the most important thing, is if you can do as a program collectively what you want to do to bring out your best product there, that's all you can ask, is can you bring 110%, and can you do it in a way that you believe in one another? Because at the end of the day, there's not a whole lot you can do against an opponent, but if you can bring everything you want as far as your style of play and your opportunity, you know, that's going to be tough to beat for opponents coming up.
Well, Dan, I just got one final question for you. It's kind of on a personal level. You recently took over as the executive director of the Ankeny YMCA. How is your new job going?
No, the new job is going great. It's great to be a part of this community. It's been something I've been looking forward to, you know, the last couple of years, and it really just kind of helps complement my leadership that I have, hopefully within the community, to continue to grow and be more involved and see what we can get expanded for the Ankeny YMCA branch.
Well, he is Dan Birch. He's the head coach of the Ankeny girls soccer team. Dan, thanks for being on our podcast. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We want to thank Iowa Realty again for sponsoring our podcast. Iowa Realty is very proud and fortunate to have Home Services Lending, Iowa Title, Midland Title, and Escrow and Home Services Insurance as part of their one-stop shopping model. They are able to help you buy and sell anywhere in the state of Iowa. They can also help you, your family, and friends who are moving from anywhere to anywhere in the world through their business affiliates. If you would like more information on how to become a realtor, you can call Mike Stanbro at 453-5350, or you can email Mike at Mike Stanbro, that's STANBROUGH, @iowarealty.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you again next week.